Greetings, you realize. Yeah, it's another early one. We were up and conversing early, so I guess this is. Yesterday was a pretty good sleep. I went all the way into the sunrise, which is very unusual because usually it's I have strange hours, you know. It's usually bed very early, and then fisherman's hours. You ask anyone who's visited here or whatever, it's the routine doesn't stop. It's the same thing, but it's a little different each day, and you don't know. You don't know unless, you know, it's like I can't really speak unless the Lord has something for me to say. And then sometimes, you know, it may go a week with nothing. And I'm not exactly sure why, except that, you know, one reason I get mail, and from the mail, I understand there are people there that received a certain word. They got a certain thing, and it's like, oh, okay, so that's why I got up that day, because you needed it. You, that one person. And like I've said before, if there's one person out there that needs something, and if the Lord uses me to minister to you through just his own working of everything, then hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I didn't know why I was saying what I was saying, but obviously you did. So I've learned not to question it. I've learned to just kind of go with it, whatever the theme is for the day. And, you know, my new theme today is this. Why are... Oh, no. I want this light on. Oh, this light's out too. No, couldn't be. Yes, thank you. I need that light on my... my Bible here. So, the distribution of words. I got a letter from a dear brother in Florida, and he said I was there in the spirit when he was vacuuming at one point. So you know who you are. I have no control. I mean, I do, but I mean, obviously. Far be it for me to want to conjure occultic powers of, you know, astral travel. But that being said, many think, you know, let's put it on God's side of the equation. That is his will, not self-will. That's the difference between occult and being with the Lord, right? The Lord does translate and transport his people, even demolecularizing, where you actually disappear physically and appear somewhere else. Could be even hundreds of miles away. This has happened. This is a phenomenon the Lord has done and will. And if he decides to take you on that kind of a journey, to take you into that kind of faith, to take you into that kind of thing, the one only thing that would block it, if that's what he has for you, would be you marveling at it. Or you thinking somehow you have a special power that other people don't have. For the Lord to use you in that way to reveal the kind of far beyond occultic powers that he has. Obviously, they're not hidden. You would have to be the kind of vessel that would not bat an eye at seeing demons walk through walls, at seeing yourself able to, you know, to convert 5,000 people or to go here, or go there, do this. All those things are possible with God. It's just that the most vessels in the West here, in the material West, are not ready for that kind of thing. Because if it goes to your head, and this is something that I received a word yesterday regarding from Tozer, from a sister that was just basically posting some Tozer. It's like, the minute you think, I'm paraphrasing Tozer now, the minute you think you have a, that's right, A.W. Tozer. The expert on Tozer is Barbara Marcotti. Cornerstone-unlimited.com or what I think I still know the number in my head, 888-239-9890. You want Tozer? Highly recommended. Call her. She's got everything on Tozer, stuff that's not even in print. She's the definitive, I think she's got awtozer.com too. Anyway, that being said, he said, the minute you feel like you have some superior insight, you know, that somehow it's superior to others, who are brethren or whatever, at that point, you have to repent of the whole thing. It's all going to come for naught. It's completely against God. And I think that is really good, especially when you're in the business of using your gifts, you know, prophesying. And so, well, let me give you a little insight of the way it works when you don't have to repent of the whole thing, when it's in league with God. You don't really pay attention to it when it's going on. Now I'm just, this is like an addendum to Tozer. So what would be the right, like, if you had some gift of, say, prophecy, you prophesied over someone who was 100% accurate beyond any psychic, and then you were able to heal them at the same time, and then you were like, yeah, I have these powers. At the same time, the Lord distributes gifts. It's not wrong to say, I've been given the gift of teaching. I've been given the gift of wisdom. I've been given the gift of, say, prophecy or healing. And I've said that. But the point is, the gifts are distributed to all of us in different ways. And so therefore, there's no superior, but it is also a blasphemy to not acknowledge a gift that has been given and then not use the gift as God intended it to be used. So there's like a problem. And that problem is, how do we know to use the gift or not? And the answer is, okay, let's say the gift of healing. These gifts get used while you're thinking about other things. You don't have to be like, you know, Chris Angel, the magician, and concentrate, and then have some big giant thing, you know, manifest and do a magic trick. No, it's, you don't have to concentrate. It just is. You just, while you're thinking about something else, the thing is used in a way you may not have imagined it. You see, there's this almost mindless use of the gifts. They're going forth. Then a soul will say, gee, I'm not really doing much for the Lord. I'm not using my gifts. Oh, but the Lord would say, let me show you how you've used the gifts. In all these ways, those gifts were used. But I wasn't aware, I wasn't engaging, I wasn't conscious of it. Look at these people that got delivered. I'll use the word healing. Look at these people that got healed. You did that. I did it through you, and you had no awareness that you had done it. Because had you had awareness that you had done it, it would have blown the whole thing. So you've been sort of unconsciously using your gifts the whole time. The gifts hadn't been wasted because I, the Lord, am not a waste. And if I choose you to put a gift in to be a vessel through whom which I will manifest my kingdom, you don't necessarily need to do anything but say yes. And that's how I've noted the most powerful healings and the most powerful stuff goes like that, where nobody takes credit, even the people that did it. Because it's so subtle, it all happened without anybody really being able, nobody could actually figure it out. That's what I know about the Lord, about the way it works. That people couldn't stop and give him a shout of hallelujah, will you? You know, there isn't any of that. It's just happening. And it's all going on. And it's all getting done. And the gifts are being widely disseminated. And the word is going forth. And the miracles are going forth. And the healings are going forth. And it's all happening. And the people are praying quietly. And stuff is happening all over the world like that. A soul will pray for something on the other side of the world very quietly and humbly and not expecting anything, and it's going on, and that's getting done. Because the Lord says, it doesn't matter what you want me to pray, Lord. If you want me to pray, you just put it on my heart, I'll just pray it, and I expect no result. I expect every result. I have actually no expectations and all expectations, meaning. And here's the way you kind of get beyond, you know, or understanding the Tozer kind of principle that, you know, anything, as soon as you start saying you're good or whatever and special, it all goes south, right? So the Lord creates, and the Lord understands that this kind of thing is going to happen. I'm running out of strips, Molly. You play this game every day. I'm running out of, I don't know if I have anything. The dogs are out on patrol. Morning patrol. And usually wow, these things have gone down, Molly. More today. Whoever invented these chicken jerky for dogs, they're all over the pet stores now. I mean, they have whole walls full of different brands and different types. That came in a few years ago, and boy, that's really taken hold. What I like about it is that it's just lean meat. There's no carbs in it. It's just pure protein. So that's a snack I can give the dog without worrying about any weight gain or anything like that. As dogs get older into senior land, you want, is that a mosquito? Really? My God, Trish, the first mosquito of the season. And he's rabid for blood. The first mosquito of the season. You're up? First mosquito of the season, and he wants blood. Blood sucker. Oh, we got mosquitoes here. A lot of people have nets around their beds. Nets like in the tropics. We have that here. Yeah, I'm almost thinking I should have one. You know, a mosquito net, because they are fierce little creatures, you know, and they are very persistent, and they make a mess of your skin and sometimes carry disease. Yeah, so I imagine the snakes are out too, I guess. If we had a warm day yesterday, I mean, we had, you know, 74 degrees and just bright blue sky and sun and like magic hour half the day. And it was just absolutely amazing. The most beautiful place I have ever seen. Why do you live in New Mexico, Zeke? Because it's the most beautiful place I've ever seen on earth. And that includes Hawaii and, you know, Bora Bora and, you know, the Southern California and, Florida and the Florida Keys and the Caribbean and of all those places. I know you may not agree, but for me, this is it. I like rivers a lot. I like the ocean too, but I love the river. I could definitely, had it been another life for me, I could have been a river rat. You know, just someone who hangs out on the river, camps by the river, lives by the... You go back out there now and you do a good job. So Molly's pretty young. She may be 8 years old, but she's got a lot of youth. You know, I take her to the dog park all the time, and when I do, when she plays with dogs, when she gets excited, she still bounces around like a puppy. She's not fast anymore like she used to be. Eli's actually slowing down. He's becoming more of an adult now. Life is a series of dogs. Yep. But anyway, so this idea of the Lord's gifts and healing and manifestations of the Spirit and incredible, well, one of the most incredible things that happens is soul track jumping, which, you know, most people are unaware of when it happens all the time. And also they're unaware of guardian angels who cause those kind of dimensional shifts to happen to save a person when it's not their time to go. For example, they're on a plane that in one dimension it crashes, and in the dimension that they wind up in through a soul track jump, which is triggered by the guardian angels, the plane lands safely. How many have had premonitions of like a nuclear war has already happened and you feel, right, but you were on a track where there was no nuclear war. Now you're on a pretty dangerous track now. That if there is no intervention, you and I won't be here. Because it's definitely shaping up to be, you know, a World War III situation. And these parade of idiots, I mean, I have the lowest level of respect for public leaders that I think I have fallen to an all new low in respect, because I understand the souls of these people. No, I'm talking about the soul. I'm not talking about the fact that they're incompetent and they're taking us all down and killing us all. That they can't do anything else because the spirit that's in them is the spirit of death and destruction. And then, so when, even though they vote to do the right thing or whatever, they can't, the UN, the Congress, the Parliament, and the parliaments of the world and all these various bodies have an extraordinary amount of fallen souls in them at this point, more so than we've ever seen. So the evil is up. And unless you jump out of this dimension, the ship's going down, the plane's going to crash, and you're done. So it's up to you, and it's up to the plan the Lord has for you. Obviously, that's number one. And again, it's back to that being number one. Remember, occultism, the occult, is where you are, you know, developing your powers to use for yourself. You know, so you are your own God. When you live for the Lord, for Jesus, for Yahweh, Jesus, one, that's just one thing. That's God, creator, maker, sustainer, destroyer, whatever. When you live for the Almighty, then it's His will be done, not my will be done. His will be done through me, so that we have perfect I am alignment. I am alignment is when God's will is done through you. Then you are I am. It's that simple. If I complicated it last week, please forgive me. I didn't mean to. I was trying to justify it or explain it, something that's a paradox anyway. The paradox is that you're the only one that exists, and it's you and the Lord, and the rest of it's a video game, a virtual reality on such a level that it's just mind-boggling. Yeah, but you know, so all the things that happen to you and that you do are sort of recorded like they would be in one of these games, and it's assessed at the end. You know, your works will be judged, and you know, but faith without works is dead also applies. You know, time and eternity are one. That applies. But the fact of the matter is that if you live for Him, then you're not an occultist. If you have powers and you boast of them, then you have no power. Because the only powers that any of us have, if you live for Him, is what He manifests through you. You know? It's like when I think about music, I go, where did that come from? Well, it's not coming from Satan's muses, because I'm not hooked up to that. So it has to be coming from the Lord or His angels in terms of inspiring whatever musical notes, because most of the time I'm just like, how did that happen? Wow, what a great thing. And I'm always curious as to where it's going to go, and then I'm always surprised where it ends up, and I realize there is no way I could have come up with that, you know, most of the time. So it's like, praise God. It's like, okay, I'm in alignment. I realize that the musical thing is something where I'm being pushed in that way. And so my desire, no, is there a plan? No, there's no plan. The world has a plan. The world has plans with their music and their movies and their creations. I have no plan. I just do the next thing. I'm hoping to create enough in 528 to compose it directly like that and have the angels actually produce it through me in a way. So that's a collaborative thing. So you have this very unusual music that you could put on an iPod or something and shield yourself from, you know, all the negative frequencies out there, and just it'd be like an aid for you to sail through it, or to bring you up in the spirit and to separate you from the carnal world. A lot of us get bogged down with a carnal world, and we just need a little boost to get out of it because we don't want to be there. The carnal world is, you know, I worry about this. I'm worrying about the rent. I'm worrying about my job. I'm worrying about what other people think of me. I'm wondering, had I gone the other way, if, you know, I would have been able to get the approval of my parents, and blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on and on. Two things about the world. One, nobody ever wins. Another thing, rich people, you know, who are successful in the world and who have the adulation of other humans. Yeah, yes, we bow down to you because you're rich. One thing I know is about rich people. In general, these are the poorest people on earth and the people who've had very, very hard lives. And no one's going to say, oh, you're rich. How could you have a hard life? I'm telling you, the rich people of the world are poor. You know, and you'd be surprised how many of them feel like they're in poverty, like they don't have enough, you know, and they may have hundreds of millions of dollars and they feel like they don't have enough. If someone's going to take it away from them, or they got big taxes, or they got all these problems, they got to worry about their investments, and the investments own them. They never figured out the wisdom of the Lord. All the money belongs to the Lord. Freely give, freely receive. And if you get into that flow, you keep giving away stuff. We keep giving away money where needed, you know. And if people turn in to be jerks about it, that's fine. But we do what we're led to do. And it's amazing. It's almost like a cliche. It just comes back in all the more ferociously. The more we put it out there, the more it comes in. It's just there's a law there. There's a principle there. So, the Lord doesn't mind you having money. It's just you have to have the proper understanding of it. It's a symbol that, you know, originally denotes labor, prosperity, you know, gain, if you will. But when people increase, a lot of time you'll find the people increasing, if they're increasing in the Lord and it's happening financially, they're not really going and, you know, using it all for the, like, you know, buying private jets and having their own racehorses and having their own, you know, condos on the beach and various beach locations and traveling to them all and having these parties and all that is self-oriented, self-will. And a lot of these people feel poor, even though they have all that stuff. It's amazing. It's amazing. And they feel they've suffered, but no one understands them because, you know, they're rich, so no one's going to give them sympathy. And that makes them suffer even all the more because they don't get love. They just get people's hands out, right? And betrayal people. So they are paranoid. I mean, they don't have a life and they're hunkered down in their mansions, you know, looking around for who's going to rip them off. And day and night, they go to doctors to take care of their ulcers and their spleens and their gallbladders. And the AMA just slices and dices them because they got money. It's almost just a curse, you know. Unless you take the attitude of, okay, it's the Lord's money. So if I get something coming in, it's the Lord. If you tell me to give everything that just came in out to one of our brothers or sisters, it's gone that day. It's gone. A lot of you who've donated to the ministry over the years. And it is, even if it has my name on it, the Zeph Daniel version, I could call it the version if you like. I got some criticism for saying it's the Zeph thing. But I don't know, I'm always willing to change it. I mean, the Lord gave me the name Zeph Daniel anyway to use for things like blogs and public appearances or whatever it is. So, or music, you know, derivation, or Zed Jah, which is Zed of Jah. It's like Eli of Jah, you know, Zed of Jah. Certainly not putting my name above the Lord's. It's honoring the Lord. I mean, that's the whole thing with names. But some people just don't get that, I guess. It's not whether you put your name on your blog and you're doing ministry about God. You know, the thing the Lord didn't want me to do was to put names like the Harvest Crusade, you know, Maranatha Ministries. No, you know, the Prophecy Blog. Okay? That was forbidden of me. So the Idiot. I could just call it that. The Outcast. That's fine. Maybe I'll do that. You know. But see, those names like the Maranatha, the Harvest Blog, it would be, it's not exactly, these names are like what the hypocrites do. They have names like that. And so we can't use them. The other thing is to name it something innocuous like, well, you say, you know, let's say it's like a book that Trish just got called Radical. It's about being a disciple of Jesus. I guess it was a bestseller. And, okay, you could say The Radical. but I think that causes an inordinate amount of attention. Oh, well, who's radical? Oh, this guy who's talking, he's radical. He's calling himself a radical. Wow, that's pretty radical. That's kind of boasting. You know, so there's no way to ever get away from it all. You know, I just go with, okay, so you give me this name, I'll just use it on whatever. I could use, Searchlight Ministry, or, you know, Five Wise Ministries, or, Yahweh Ministry, or, The Vineyard. I mean, have you had enough? I was just going to call it The Version. And what I like about the name Version is V-E-R is like ver, which is the root of the word truth, and Sion, which is Zion, right? So Version is like truth in Zion. So that's the way, so it becomes a Zeph Daniel version, the Zeph Daniel version of reality. And in a way I'm saying, you know what? If you want to just say this is not of God, it's just Zeph's take, I'm giving you that ability or that license to do that in the name of the blog. You can say, yep, Zeph's calling it his own version of reality. It's the Zeph Daniel version. Fine. This is his version. And then if it rises above my version, which is the hope, then you can just have your own secret thing going on there. In other words, you know, no one's saying it's absolute Yahweh thing. You better listen. You know, no one's saying that. Listen or not, you know, it's casual. It's just his version. Yeah, but I'm listening. Like, it's more like I hear Yahweh in it. Well, no, he says it's his version. So it can never really work as being the official church of Yahweh Yeshua. The official version. Now, hidden in the name Zeph Daniel is ZD, or Z, which really means Omega, if you really want to break it down, and Truth in Zion. So it's the Omega Truth in Zion is what it translates to. But I don't want to tell you that. That's for the insiders. That's for you people that have this certain understanding. You know it. There's a meaning. Well, it means the Omega Truth in Zion, because Zeph is E. Daniel is just Zed. It's just the initials. Z, Zephaniah. E, Ezekiel or Eternity or Elijah. Daniel, as in Daniel the prophet. But what does it really mean? It doesn't mean anything of Zeph or E or Daniel. That's meaningless. It's the Z-E-D that has meaning. What does it mean? It means the end of the alphabet. Zed. It's Alpha to Zed. Zed is the way they named the Z in the days of old. It means the Omega. The Alpha and the Omega. The Omega is Zed. So that's what my name means, and that's what was given to me to use. Zed, which means Omega, which means Jesus Christ is coming. Where? Truth in Zion. Okay? Isn't that amazing how that breaks down? But why didn't I break it down until now? Well, why should I? Well, why should I? When this is for others. Others can do the same thing. Why should I put so much attention on something? Why not just let the world think it's Zeph's subjective version of reality. Take it or leave it. Exactly. It doesn't rise to the level of Yahweh. It doesn't rise to the level of holy. It doesn't rise to the level of sacred. It's just Zeph Daniel version. The Zeph Daniel version. As opposed to just Zeph Daniel version. The. But the thee does not signify absolute. It just signifies subjective take on reality, which it certainly is, and then it is not. Yes, it is and is not. All right? And that paradox, I love living in those paradoxes. eternity and time, space are one. Free will and destiny are one. Yes? I rather like that. God is a spirit and he's everywhere in everything. Yeah, how come it's so evil? It's not really evil in real reality. We're not in real reality. So it's you know, the reality we're in is the reality that God made for his pleasure, which is basically bringing up souls, testing souls, to create a harvest so that he will be our God and we will be his children. And people have a free will choice to go on to Zion, which is the other dimension is Zion, or not. And it's interesting, in the Hebrew alphabet, in the alphabet itself, I understand, not just the code like Bible codes, but there are certain music contained within these, and frequencies contained, and information contained within each letter. And it's all very, very special. It's a sacred alphabet. I'm not sure that people understand that, but then they don't need to. When we work in the 528 frequency, we're working in basically the Hebrew alphabet. In fact, the entire alphabet is represented in almost any tune. All from Alpha to Zed in almost every tune. So Zed, when this name was given to me as initials, and then it was buried by tacking a name onto it. The point was, right, Omega, which is the end, to signify that this is the end, and to signify the end of time. That somehow this had to do with the end of time, which somehow had to do with the end of time as we know it, as we would be bringing into, as we would see, would be brought in. I mean, it's kind of hard now. I've told you to keep your powder dry and that the end goes on a long time so that you don't get hung up on like May 21st as a date just to be disappointed. I told you that, but I'm not in disagreement that the end can come soon. I've had to tell the people to calm down because they're running after a sign. And when they run after a sign, they get burned. So there's this prophet saying this and that prophet saying that. And how many of them have been wrong and God didn't say it? How many? Everyone that I've heard on the air has been wrong. The standard for a prophet in the Bible, so far as I know, is you can't be wrong. Oh, you can make prophecies that haven't come in yet. And it's been a few years. That's fine. No. A lot of them made prophecies that just come due hundreds of years later. So that's, you're covered in that way. But I mean, if you said, I, the prophet, speak, and on such and such a date, this is going to happen, and it doesn't happen, then obviously you sort of have egg on your face. It doesn't mean to me that you don't have a prophetic gift, but it does mean to me that you are not a capital P prophet. Can we, Your Honor, can we stipulate that for the record? Thank you. So that would then eliminate 100% of the people calling themselves prophets are now eliminated and disrespected as that, because they're not what they said they were. That means all the shows on the air are false. Well, what they really are, they're fallible. And a capital P prophet is not fallible. So then watch them then cover themselves on these shows. Well, this is, you know, and they have all these excuses. And then they promote these people that call themselves prophets to promote their shows when they're inaccurate. That's why I say that be very careful when you label yourself apostle, prophet, evangelist, whatever it is, with a capital E or P or, you know, anything. You can have prophetic gifts and not have to raise it to a capital, and use your gifts, and sometimes you might be wrong or off, and that would be fine. You have a prophetic gift, and sometimes that gift is really strong. Sometimes, you know, you make a mistake. Fine. That's a little p prophet. I have a prophetic gift. People that have prophetic gifts typically have teaching gifts. You know, some people have the gift of wisdom. That's the one I really like. I pray for the gift of wisdom. So in my dealings that I deal wisely rather than foolishly. I think that's one of the, I'm telling you, when Solomon prayed, God gave it to him. So I'm like, okay, I'm, you know, because everyone's lining up to be a prophet or a, right, or one of these. I'm, you know what, where my heart is right now, it's like, Lord, if you're going to give me, I mean, you've given me too much already. I'm a spoiled brat. But if you're going to give me more, I want the gift of wisdom. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, because then I could deal with my dealings from a point of wisdom rather than impulse and rather than reaction. I think wisdom is one of the best gifts. I don't see a better gift than wisdom, do you? Wisdom would tell you who to deal with, who not. And wisdom, when you'd be able to give great advice to your friends. People will ask your advice. You'd be able to give them wise words that if they heed them, they will, their ship will sail right. So I think that's a very overlooked gift that people, you know, on the internet, they're like a bunch of, you know, if I call myself a spoiled brat, I don't know what they are. They're still babies in the crib screaming, yelling, and pointing at the mobile and wanting mommy to feed them. They're still on mother's milk because they all act on impulse. They're all running after promotion of shows. They want to use fear techniques to get you to tune in to the next terror strike. I've tried to shy away. You know, I did that in 2002. I put out prophetic words and things about, you know, the crash of the world economy. And everyone said I was crazy when I did that one. And things like the terrorism ramping up and things like, eugenics plot against, you know, all these dangers, you know, you only need to put them out once. But then after that, it's like, okay, but there's also, I also saw how tracks and lines of things wouldn't happen. In other words, I saw that I didn't call myself a capital P prophet back then. I called it prophecy. A lot of it had to do with going through the Word of God and writing stuff about the Word of God. But you know, I wasn't, you know, Prophet Zeph. I think what I was doing was just being obedient because I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I got on the internet, which nobody was really on the internet back then. And I was able to do a little 5-minute audios. And it was just, yeah, I suppose it was ministry. I gave my life to the Lord and that's what he had me do. And that's where I went. I went to the internet, which I knew very little about at the time. And then, you know, throughout the years, as I've studied the Bible and, you know, studied the Word and thought about it, you know, it's not enough to read your Bible. There's one pastor that I know is going out and saying, read your Bibles. It's like, man, no, you don't read the Bible. The Bible reads you. Okay? The Bible is an encounter. The Word is a living Word, a flaming sword. If you encounter the Word, then you encounter the I Am. It's fierce. Not everyone can encounter it without spontaneously combusting. People throw around scriptures like they're nothing. But in all the years of studying and reading and thinking about, right, that was the most important thing that I did for was to ponder the Word. And I know that sounds kind of lazy, like, what do you mean? You're just pondering the Word? It's like, I'm pondering this one verse for like a week. I'm saying, I don't know why. And then someone who is wise would tell me, the Lord put that verse on your heart to ponder. Ah, okay. So reading the Bible could be vanity, but pondering it or letting it read you then becomes walking in the way of the Lord. So there's a lot of people that read their Bibles and they know what it says, but they don't know God's Word. And there's a lot of people that ponder the Word and the Bible reads them. In other words, how many of you have said that scripture just leapt out at me and I've been thinking about that for the last 2 or 3 days? That's what I mean by having the Bible read you. And you're walking in God's Word. You may not have memorized all the scriptures, but you're in the Word. Because one word is all words. One note is every note. One frequency is all frequencies. One life is all lives. That's the thing that's incomprehensible. But if you have one verse of scripture that has read you, that is in your heart, because it was put there, you didn't do it, then you know all of God's word. There is no breaking off of a love. Here's a little love, and here's more love for you. No love. You have a bit of love or a lot of love. There is no lot or little. You have love or you don't. If you have any piece of love, you have all the love. If you have any piece of the word, you have every word. All the word. Everything God ever uttered. The whole thing. All the planets. All the people. All the animals. All the different dimensions. That's all part of God's word as well. That's all the language. The ancient language, you have it all. If there's any piece of the word that has entered your heart, you have all the word. Now, that's something he taught me. So not to be embarrassed if you were pondering one word while other people were going on and reading this chapter and that chapter and this chapter, and then they conquered that chapter, and they conquered, they egotistically conquered that next chapter, and they egotistically conquered the next chapter, and every chapter they finally conquered it, and they really got it now. Badge. Every badge we place on each other is a badge of dishonor, folks. It's something to be ashamed of, not proud of. Sure, it's nice to feed the poor. The Lord loves that. But when we boast of it, you know what he loves? When you quietly give your donations and your help or your physical help, and you don't ask for any reward, and you don't do it with any fanfare, he loves that. Hint, hint, big star, that he loves. Make a big show of it, as Tozer would say. You got to repent of the whole dang thing. You got to repent of the whole thing, because that you have now, you now have pride, you know, and pride cannot stand in the realm of God. And I've lamented too another thing. I felt so bad for so many years, you know, privately bad, you know, just suffering in my bed, suffering in my sorrow, suffering when other people were out having fun and enjoying what God had to offer, and I couldn't be. I was suffering too much to join them. I felt so much self-loathing and self-hatred, and suffering, and more suffering, and self-hatred, and then fear of other people, and hatred, and their hatred, and that hurt me, and then I'd suffer more. And I thought, oh my God, there's no way I'll ever be normal like a normal Christian. My life is just sorrow. Even though I have abundance, I have relatively good health, I have a lot of things, but I don't want to waste it in sorrow when I could be doing something, Lord. I mean, why is sorrow and pain every day? And then I realized later on, and it's hard to realize this, but that was all a gift. See, while they were playing and I was suffering, God was bringing me on, and they weren't ready yet. When they're ready, they too will suffer. But it has to be, you know, they have to say yes to it. I had nowhere else to go. I got to a certain point where the Lord just, I mean, I almost died so many times with at the hands of the satanic. I mean, it, you know, 5 years old, as a teenager being in a coma. I told you that testimony. And, you know, then I finally figured out why. That my own friends would try to kill me and take me off in a car somewhere. And I kept getting away because the Lord and the angels kept steering me. Like as soon as I'd get invited to one thing, or they tried to trap me I was taken off another way. And that gave me a tremendous sorrow, that most of my life has been sorrow over all those traumas of betrayal. And then finally, when I gave up everything and I just couldn't go on any further, and I was even beyond suicide, I was at the end of my rope, the Lord came and lifted me up and spoke to me. And he was looking through my eyes, and he literally lifted me off the ground and animated me, like his spirit was in me. And I didn't care if it was a demon or the Lord. I didn't care what it was. At that point, I didn't care. I could care less. Kill me then. I don't care. But it was him. Father, Father, the creator of all things, in my body, looking out my eyes. And I never really looked back. I mean, it hasn't been easy, and there's been times where I felt like giving up, where I didn't trust him. The first thing that I had a motorcycle, didn't even know how to ride it. I bought an Indian motorcycle, didn't even know how to ride it. And people say, you got to start like on a Honda 250 or, you know, a little 250 bike and work your way up to eventually a 750 and then eventually a 1200. No one can just ride a bike. I tried to take a lesson. I failed miserably. I didn't fall, but I couldn't do it. So one of the first things the Lord had me do, believe it or not, I had this bike in the garage, nowhere to go with it. But I didn't know why I had it, because I'm like, who am I going to do? Join a motorcycle gang? And what am I going to do? Why'd I even do this? He said, I can show you how to ride it. But you got to lose your fear. You're going to jump on that bike and ride on the freeway. What? You're going to jump on that. I lived on a hill at the time. On a hill. Big hill. Big steep hill. You're going to jump on that bike, go down the hill, and then get on the freeway. Huh? Well, I went out there, started up, and went roaring down the hill onto the freeway and got off at, I think, Victory Boulevard in the valley and ran into the guy. Isn't it odd how you run into people when the Lord's guiding? He told me to get off there. In traffic, weaving in and out of cars, because I wasn't driving. He knew how to ride the motorcycle. I didn't. So he was doing it. He possessed me. And then pulled over, and a guy goes, and then the guy who was trying to teach me, who had kind of written me off as a lost cause, that I couldn't learn, he just pulled up right behind me. He goes, oh my God, what are you doing out here? What are you riding that bike around? What's happened? I said, well, I couldn't ride it, so God told me he wanted to ride it, so I let him do what he wanted with me, and then we just started riding it. I was, oh my God, and he turned completely pale as a ghost. And the story got around with him and his motorcycle buddies that, to the point where Trish actually went to some kind of a birthday or something, and they were all there. And no, I declined to go. I didn't want to go. So she went to be a good friend, and I think we were fasting at the time, so she stayed fasting. And they were all talking about the incident of me on the bike, like they couldn't believe it. And then some people in the motorcycle shop started some kind of garbage with me, because I was preaching God. I was fully God. I was fully into God. It was fully just, that was it. So they were giving me crap in the motorcycle place and harassing me. And the Lord gave me a word. I will shut this place down in 6 months to the day. And I know you're not supposed to say the time, but at that time I didn't really know that. I mean, So I told my friend who was also there that day. He was there that day when they harassed me. He witnessed it and he didn't help me. Because he's, on that side too. He didn't help me. And you know how dangerous that is. They could sabotage your bike, right? Which they did eventually. But anyway, they did what they did. And they sabotaged the tire and went out on the freeway. And, we were going 70 miles an hour. Trish was on the, and miraculously pulled over to the side. No problem. But anyway, so they did this harassment. And my friend was there. And I asked him, I said something to him, and he looked away from me. He couldn't look me in the eye, like he was a part of it. And then I said, the Lord tells me this. 6 months, that place is gone. And at the time, it was like all the celebrities. George Clooney was buying bikes for all his friends. Bob Dylan had his bike there. I mean, everyone was dealing with his shop. It's like, oh, he just laughed, I think. Well, lo and behold, 6 months to the day of saying that, to the very day, to the very hour, the door is shut. In the height of a super prosperity for motorcycles, the door's shut. He called me up. His voice was trembling. He said, what you said happened exactly. I mean, this is the day. If 6 months, this is the day, and it's shut today. And I went, yep. I didn't bat an eye. I was just like, yeah, that's, because at that time, my faith was so strong at that time that if God said it was going to be 6 months to the day, I didn't have a problem believing it. And so when he said it, was like, yeah, I told you. In other words, you need, and then I told him, you need to repent. This has been proven to you. This was done for your benefit. So you would repent and stop hurting me. And he did not heed because his wife was a powerful witch. And, you know, she already put a spell on him. He broke his neck. So he was afraid of her. So he, because of that, he wouldn't repent. Maybe he has by now. I'm sorry he broke his neck. It was something like he wanted to go ride on the dunes or whatever, and she said, if you go, you're going to break your neck, just like that. And then he broke his neck, just like that. And from that point forward, he was afraid of her. He, you know, sort of became her slave. For real. There's no more rebellion left in him after that. And it's just really painful. But so this idea of repenting here in the faith, he just, you know, he equates any rebellion, like repenting would be rebellion, with pain, and he didn't want more pain. I understood that. I said, you know, you've got a hard life. You have a hard life. You have a very, very hard life, don't you? Because you've been, you know, already you've seen the power of witchcraft for doing harm. And all your wife had to do is just think it, and it would happen. She was so powerful, she could just think a whammy, and it would happen. Wouldn't even have to do any kind of ritual. Just think it, boom, happen. And she'd been working on that craft. I mean, ever since I knew her, she'd been working on that very same craft. And she eventually put, you know, death, though they all put death whammies on me. Motorcycle death whammy, every kind of whammy in the world. Very evil, horrible, horrible woman. You know, just in love, reminding me of the queen in Revelation. Reminded me of, had this attitude exactly. So cocky and so mocking. And they would just laugh at people like you and me. They just laugh openly, publicly. Just like that. And they will talk behind your back and talk about you in your presence, about someone in the third person, when they're really all mocking you. Like people talking a different language in front of you, calling you an idiot and an asshole and all this other stuff, you know, like in Spanish or whatever. And, but she is exactly, and they all are like this. All the witches I've known, you know, besides, and they don't do harm. I mean, she did do a lot of harm to me. That's true. But see, the Lord gave me enough strength to survive it. He didn't make it so it didn't happen. He gave me the strength to go through it, to endure it. It was more important for me to have pain inflicted by this person and endure it. And then I knew what she was doing, and I'd confront her, and they all would, yep, okay. Yeah, and it would all became very dangerous. Because the true witches keep their witchcraft secret. They don't go around, I'm a witch. They would never say that. It's all secret. So if you're popping them, well, okay. So the woman, basically, a Babylon, and the spirit of Babylon, and the arrogance of Babylon, the arrogance of the woman. Remember, in the world system, in the world, it's a matriarchy. It's never been a patriarchy. That's just the surface reality that they present, but that's not who runs it. It's run by the elite witches in league with Satan. That's who runs the world, always has, always will. It's not Gaddafi. It's not Putin. It's not Obama. It's not, they are made to blossom and rank. They have their rank dictated by the hierarchy of witches, which runs the world. But anyway, Well, they had the attitude I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore does, why are you marveling? Why are you admiring her? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and seven horns. In other words, the whole point of this woman, the whole point of the witches, the whole point is to attack the saints and prevent Jesus from, coming to earth and then returning to earth. It's all about that. That's their whole gig. It isn't, my control. It's all about that. And they're also all, now you talk about demonic possession. They are possessed because they have, through trauma-based ritual, gotten the demon and then encouraged it and become and been brought up and raised since children as the child of the demon that lives within them, slowly becoming that demon to where there's no difference, fusing with their demon. So there is no difference. And this is sometimes a collective demon, meaning the same one can be in several of them and they all become identical, like Stepford Wives. Oh, they're dead. Their bodies keep going, but their souls are dead. They're not, they, whoever they were gone since childhood. And there really isn't any, the idea of if you said something like repentance, they would just laugh at you. Who would laugh at you? It's the demon in that vessel that laughs at, they want to mock and laugh. That's their big thing. When you mock and laugh at them, they go insane. They fall apart. See, you can threaten to hurt them, they don't care. But you laugh at them, they can't take. So that's why they mock and laugh so much. Now, the beast that you saw was and is not, and yet shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, that was and is not and yet is. This is a very, those who have wisdom will understand this. The satanic kingdom is and is not and yet is. If you are honest with yourselves, you'll look around the world and you'll say, I can't really find it in Google. You won't. It doesn't exist in Google. Oh, all the people that talk about Satan and Satanism, all that, nah, discount them all. I guarantee you it is not in Google. I guarantee you cannot search for it. I guarantee you it does not exist technically because it's a supernatural thing that's happening here. Now, if you understand this, then you understand the whole world. We have a two-tiered reality. One of the tiers is hidden and only accessible by the initiates unless God shows you like he did Ezekiel or me or you or whatever. But then you can go out shouting about it as I did on so foolishly on Coast to Coast Radio, and they just laughed at me because, see, they know and yet are part of, and yet what I'm talking about doesn't exist. So they discredit you as a lunatic. And then privately, they'll come to you and say, You're right. Is there any way out for me? Oh, yeah, we've had that too. You're right. You're right. I don't need you to tell me I'm right. I know what I know. What I know doesn't go away, it doesn't change. But here is the key to the whole thing. It's the Bible is the greatest source, and the Bible is the only book in the entire world, no sutra, no Quran, no, not even the Torah. And it's there in the story of Adam and Eve and all that. I mean, you can see it, in some of the prophets like Ezekiel. It's there. But it doesn't really fully explain the mystery as the book of Revelation does. You need the book of Revelation. You need the whole Bible. The Old Testament won't do it for you. You need the old and new together. But together, the entire thing is explained in great clarity and detail, yet none of the preachers will talk about it. None of them know. Why don't they know? Oh, they do know. They're keeping it a secret because they don't want to have their neck broken. Yes, I speak absolute truth today. Thank you, Lord, because I got nothing in myself. Except you want this truth spoken, no big deal. But I'm only speaking what's written here. I'm not speaking in my own, out of my own arse, as it were. I'm speaking what is written here. It says, Now, first of all, the book of Revelation . Why would he marvel? Why would he marvel? We'll get back to chapter 17 in a minute. Why would he marvel? This revelation of the apocalypse was given to John while he was on, not sabbatical, but exiled to the island of Patmos. As an old man, he didn't die with the rest of them, not then. He went through his ordeals and survived. God made him survive because all the rest of them were killed for the name of Jesus. And he gave him a book that has made people wonder from the beginning of ever since it's been written. It's been argued about. It's been analyzed. It's been broken down into symbols. It's been mathematized. It's been musicalized. It's everything they could do. But you see, they couldn't figure it out. What does it mean when you reveal something to someone? What does it mean when you reveal something to someone? You're revealing something that has not been known. So nowhere in the Bible was it known completely what the two-tiered reality really was. So this book was set with veils around it so that the average person could never figure it out. The carnal mind, in other words, the non-spiritual mind could never figure it out. Those who belong to the Lord, they don't really need to figure it out. They sort of know, but they don't really have the clarity that I'm about to give you now. The angel said to me, why do you marvel? Why did John marvel? And I saw the woman. Now, before this, he says, okay, there's a woman arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. So we're not, you know, we're talking about a symbol here, okay? But we're talking about more than that, too. But let's, because we're also talking about the personality of the witches. All have this arrogant personality, yes? And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. So this is the mother of all witchcraft. Okay? And I saw the, and has the power to do the abominations without anyone stopping them, because it's all done in secret. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Right? The woman is there to persecute anyone of Jesus, which then elevates Jesus to the number one problem in the entire world, no matter what religion, East, West, Asia, Europe, North Pole, South Pole, doesn't matter. The entire world, all the witch doctors in Africa, all the Santeria Mambas in Mexico, all the voodoo in Haiti, all the sorcery in Hinduism. Oh yeah, see, Hinduism is half of it sorcery. All the sorcery in Tibet, all the traditions of all the world, and every religion and every history of the entire world is wrapped up in this. And the focus is Jesus. Of all the world. Must keep the real secret that the Messiah is the way out for humanity, the way to salvation, and we have to block it. We have to make sure there's a punishment for anyone embracing Jesus. It's really about Jesus. It's not about you. And when they persecuted you, you might have thought it was for you alone. It had nothing to do with you alone. It has to do with if God has marked you, then they see that mark, or the thing in them sees it and comes after you. Just, you could be marked and not even know anything about the Bible. You may not even want to be marked. The best saints are the reluctant ones, you know, because it means they've got a pair, you know. They don't want to be, you know, brought in like that. They want to use their free will. But in the end, you know, it's kind of like, is there free will? Or, you know, it's all God's will, isn't it? But there is free will. But there isn't. But there is. But there isn't. But there is. But there isn't. But there is. And there isn't. And that's another mystery. But let me just lay this mystery on you. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Because this world system is implacable. It's worldwide. It's on everything. It's successful as can be. And it accomplishes its goal perfectly without any word above the surface. It has taken every pastor and every 501c3 church with it to serve the harlot, not Jesus. There isn't even one in any 501c3 church that serve. They may think they serve Jesus and write lots of books and do lots of prayers, but they don't. They don't understand that that affiliation cancels it. Oh, they do understand, but I mean, you know, the other thing is that there's a vetting process behind the scenes. They won't let anyone be a pastor or assign any church to a pastor unless they own them, unless the harlot owns them. This has been true from the very beginning. This was the problem Paul had of being kicked out of his own church because they were secretly doing the old rituals. Yeah, it's been happening from the beginning. They thought by now they should be successful in eradicating Jesus and the whole thing from the earth. But they haven't, because it took an angel to appear and say, "Why do you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, and which has 7 heads and 10 horns. You know, the nations of the world. Go back to Daniel on that. The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition." So the woman is the beast. The matriarchy is the beast. Okay? And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And there's another key. Well, let me stop on that. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. The name of the saints were written in the book of life from the foundation, from before the world was made. That should send chills up your spine. That's why people get angry, the reluctant say, how dare you write me in that book of life? Well, I never had a chance with the world. No. And if your name is written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, those whose name is not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will pursue you relentlessly, even if you don't know Jesus, because this is an eternal struggle. So there's one part of the mystery for you. Too many Christians falsely believe that it all starts when they say yes to Jesus. No, it does not. That is a falsehood and a lie. This is an ancient thing that goes well before, beyond your birth. If you are with the Lord, then you were chosen before you were ever born, because you existed before you were ever born. And if that's not enough to scare you, let me continue. Yeah, it's more scary to have God's mark on you, isn't it? That's even scarier. Because those of you who are like rebelling with God's mark on you, you know. You've worked in the various capacities and business and different things in the world, and you haven't gotten the promotions and made the big money, and you weren't the one that exploded out of Wall Street and became the big mogul. No, you've been a functionary. You've been passed over. Now, there's a reason. Rejoice. The Lord chose you. That's the only reason you didn't advance. And those of you, I know one guy in banking, and, you know, the same thing. They groomed him. It didn't. Well, we're going to have him on the air again. We're going to get into that. He has a lot to say to you folks that are part of the system, but you're not really succeeding because you have God's mark on you, and yet you're in rebellion to God. How does that work? And yet they're not paying you anything. You're not getting anywhere with it, are you? With your little rebellion, you're just trying to be reasonable, not be crazy. And how's that working out for you? Not at all. Your children don't respect you. Your wife doesn't really respect you. Anyway, let me continue. And now there's a solution to your problem, but it's heavy, man. It's heavy, 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 heavy. This whole thing is coming right down to the nub, which is you. And in what's in you, it's you. It's not, I don't speak to the collective, I'm speaking to you. You're coming right down to what's in you, right down to that big light versus dark, dark versus light. You're going to have to make a choice. So think about that. Pray for wisdom. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and not and yet is. See, they wonder. The earth shall wonder. In other words, marvel, be amazed with, be completely amazed with the harlot who is the beast, who is and is not and yet is. And what is the beast? It is the two-tiered, the other tier, the secret tier of the two-tiered reality. It is and yet is not. Go Google it. Oh, they'll talk about the satanic world system and the Illuminati, and they'll talk about, you know, secret societies and Aleister Crowley, but you'll never, ever, 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 it's not written down anywhere in Google. In other words, there's no website on earth that actually lays it out except for the Bible. And there's all kinds of interpretations of this verse that wander away from the point and obscure the truth of it. And this isn't written down. This is just spoken, and it will be just like a podcast. And what I mean by buried is you might learn something from this transmission, as it were. But you go tell somebody about it, and it won't exist. They'll say you're not. There'll be no traction, believe me. I have no doubt that from time to time the truth is uttered, but it has no traction on earth because it is and is not and yet is. Oh no, Joe, that's not happening. There's nobody like that out to get you. No one's really going. There's not like some secret thing where they're all, you know, and then suddenly you wind up, you know, at the banquet feast as the feast itself. It doesn't really exist. You know, Rosemary's Baby was a good example. Okay, it speaks it, shows you the truth, but yet, who could ever prove it? In other words, the world marvels after this power. And they're intoxicated with it. But you who were marked and written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the beginning, you can't see it. So let's continue. That's getting a little heavy, huh? Heavy, heavy, heavy. Because it comes down to you. It wouldn't be heavy if it was just a collective. Like, oh, it's just the world and, you know, it's a spiritual battle and some people believe this way and some people believe that. All the religions are really valid and it's not all about Jesus. It's all about, you know, the people that are doing bad things versus the people that are trying to do good things and the fight between them. That's all it really is about, isn't it, Z? I mean, aren't you really just by saying Jesus, aren't you really just... There are less and less people that say Jesus these days. You know, people falling away. They're leaving the churches in droves. That's been well documented, and Jesus seems to be failing. And so it is not, I guess. But yet it is, because... And here is the mind that has wisdom. I told you, you need wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sits, and here are the seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue a short space, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition. And the ten horns which you saw were ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast, 1 hour, a short time with the beast, and these have one mind. These have a hive mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast, and they shall make war with the Lamb, capital L, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I know, I told you it gets heavy, right? The people what they do is they lose sight of this chapter by breaking down what the seven heads and the seven mountains and the woman sits and all that. And they get all lost in all that symbology and who the seven kingdoms are. And they go back to Daniel, the Old Testament, and put it together. And you can do that. But then they lose sight of what's happening here. Let's continue. And he that says to me, the waters which you saw where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Okay, so that answers it for us. If there's any verse that answers it, it's verse 15. So you don't have to wonder over all the little things. You can just let it flow, and then we'll get into it. And the ten horns which you saw that sits, saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So betrayal comes in as this comes up from the pit. I mean, it comes up from the pit, meaning it's exposed. From the pit, there's still power. Because it is and is not and yet is. And it comes up from the pit, okay? But then goes into perdition. Comes up, right? Isn't that like the 3.5-year prophecy of the Antichrist reign? Comes up, reigns a short while, then boom, gone. For God has put their hearts to fulfill his will, has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give her their kingdom to the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled, and the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was light with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine, and this kind of goes and qualifies chapter 17. This is 18 now. And all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through her abundance and of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not her plagues. For the sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. In other words, double the wrath. God will double the wrath upon her, which is all the nations, all the armies, all the currency, all the businesses, all the endeavors, and all the humans who have signed on, who have submitted to this world system, will all be, the wrath of God will be poured out on them directly. That's a horrible thing to think. The Lord is waiting for you with open arms, saying, come to me and be saved, and he will save you from this. You know, it's really simple. But there's another key to this, and let me just get into it. The key is it happens in every life concurrently. All, because as people go into sickness and death, these plagues are poured out upon them or not, depending on their position. Woe to the person that goes into old age and death without the Lord, because you either are with the Lord or the full wrath, the punishment here is the punishment for every soul that has ever lived, not just for a certain point in time. How much she's glorified herself and lived deliciously. And here comes the attitude of everyone I know, every woman that I know that has gone this way, and every man too, but the women run the show. So every woman that I know who's gone this way, okay, who has signed on, who has become her slave, this is her attitude toward everyone. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. Yes, she's wealthy. Oh, they are all wealthy. So much torment. Well, I'll qualify that in a minute. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen. Come on. I am no widow, and I shall see no sorrow. Every single one. That's Revelation 18. That's one of the most important lines in the entire Bible. I'll say it again. I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Everyone. And everyone under her grip. Remember, witchcraft is singular. It is not plural. There aren't witches doing their own thing. They're all tethered to the one beast. Not one of them is independent. They all have the same attitude, speak the same language, do the same things. No exceptions to that worldwide. Even though there's no teachers out there teaching them, they all act the exact same way. Why is that? Because it is and is not, and yet is. It is not, meaning it's not taught, it's not on Google, it's not anywhere, it's not even in the Bible, and yet it is right here today. But go ahead and listen to other people. This is not a Bible study, this is a revelation. But go ahead and go listen to your Bible studies on Revelation and tell me if you hear it. Tell me if you understand like you do now. Tell me if they say it. Let me continue. No, I'd like to know, because if someone's tying it into the past, present, and future, and to your life personally, and to the life, the reality that you have to contend with on a daily basis, and when you wonder why so many supernatural things are happening, people coming out of the blue, weird kinds of persecutions, voices, things where a psychiatrist might label you psychotic, you want to know where it's all happening. It is and is not, and yet is. You could take that psychiatrist that wants to lock you up for being psychotic when all you've done is study the Bible. And, you know, you just want to understand why your life was so hard, okay? And then you understand that it's just hard because psychologically it's almost impossible because this is a powerful beast. What's disturbing you, my friends? What's disturbing you day in and day out is this reality. The reality that is and is not and yet is hidden from view from the carnal or material world. But it is the thing that disturbs you, and it's the thing that attacks you. And yet if you go to tell someone about it, they'll say something's wrong with you, because it is not. And yet in the end, if you put a gun to the psychiatrist's head and you said, you spill it, buddy, or you're going bye-bye, he'll say, okay, it is. I can't say anything though. Please don't hurt me. That's how heavy this whole thing is. It's the heaviest shite on earth. That's how heavy all this is. Every single soul on earth is ruined by that. Lives that could be beautiful lives are ruined by this. Because people who embrace that become foul, wicked spirits, and what happens to them? They get possessed. In other words, their vessel is taken over by something else, so they never ever get to live their own lives. They're living someone else's, a spirit's life is living through them. They all become tethered to the one beast. Okay, if you want to use their language, connected. Yes, and they give you trinkets for it. But, you know, you're not there. You are, yet you're not, but yet you are. Or it is, and yet you are, but yet it is. Your life, in other words, is no longer your own. Wouldn't it be amazing if Glenn Beck would teach this? He might. I mean, he's said a lot of stuff. And people don't realize he's said a lot of stuff. He did a very brilliant take on the Mahdi. And we're gonna talk about that next. In other words, what will this beast look like? But what we're talking about now is your life, my life, all lives. When we get to the thing of the Mahdi and the coming and the Antichrist and all that, you know, that's the desires of men, that getting back to the carnal world again. But let's just delve into this. I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Tisk, tisk. Oh, look at those losers. Oh, go kill them. Ha, ha, ha. Ah, my own son I killed. Ah, I killed my daughter. I love, live. Oh, I got lots of billions of dollars. Oh, I'm having the greatest life. Parties, movies, meaning I'm starring in them, of course. What about all the dead souls? What's that? What? I'm living now. That loser that was in that body before isn't even there. It's me that's living now. I'm the one living now. It's my life and my world. So how many are left alive? You've seen the zombie movies. You tell me. Right, that was like George Romero trying to put into a you know, try to, he created a metaphor of the situation. It had to be made into a horror movie and he's always been trying to get at this stuff to reveal to people, in a very easy to understand way, what is going on. The zombies are the dead that belong to the beast, that belong to the queen. And they're depraved soul, you know, all they want to do is eat brains, you know, I mean, so, you know, basically, eating the brain is a symbol for the soul. So it's, they're eating souls, but you can see the brain. So once again, I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to bear with me here. I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore, because of that attitude, that's an attitude. I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. It's an attitude. Can't you see them saying, oh, let them eat cake? Can't you see her saying any kind of thing? It's an attitude. So therefore, because of that attitude, in all those people, because they're one, the woman and the beast and each individual are just one thing. So because of this attitude, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Therefore I beseech you, brethren, if you got weak faith, rededicate yourselves, fast and pray, join with the community, you know, let God lead you. That's the best way I can put it. Let the Lord God lead you in your lives. Well, it goes on. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour thy judgment comes. The great city Babylon then can be taken as the queen, the beast, the harlot, the city, Babylon, mystery Babylon, all one thing. So that would be what? Like, oh, if you want to think materialistically about it, you could say, well, a nuclear war shuts it off. Boom, done. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn. What, lose it? Can you imagine after this judgment comes, they still don't get it? All these, you know, corporations and stuff still don't get it? You, CEO, get on your knees. You beg the Lord for his help right now, because you've participated in all this, and you will still have the attitude that, you know, man's reasoning is still superior to God. So this thing that happened, let's just pick up and start it up again, because this is horrible. We can't do business as usual. And then it goes on as if that wasn't enough. Has it done enough damage now? Well, check this out. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet, and all the wood and manner of vessels of ivory and precious wood and brass, iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments. In other words, everything, all the goods that are made everywhere by every corporation, every manufacturing plant, everyone, wine, oil, flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, chariots, and the souls of men. And the fruits of your soul lusted after are departed from you, and the things which were dainty and goodly are departed from you now, and you will find them no more at all. You are now Mad Max on I-95. Yeah, Mad Max on I-25. Mad Max on I-5. It's over. It's the Book of Eli. I think that's why Brother Thomas loved that movie. I loved it. We both loved it tremendously. But that's why I think he really embraced the Book of Eli so much, because he sees that world coming. Well, right here, I don't have to guess. I can tell you right now, we keep on this path, and guess what? That's the world, Mad Max on I-95, those of you who live on the East Coast. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, these people that sold all this stuff, cars and trucks and, you know, incense and soap and cleaning goods and building supplies and all that. Well, they were made rich by her, not by themselves, not by interdependence, not by the wealth of nations of Adam Smith. They were made wealthy by her. And they knew it. They didn't say anything about it, but that's what happened. Because what can they say? Look, a typical man, no offense to men. Men are great. Women are great. Love men, love women, you know. But, you know, a typical man, though, let's be honest, does not think in these terms. I know that makes me a little bit of a hairdresser, I think. But does not think, oh, we got to have a little humor because this is heavy. Man, this is heavy. I didn't know why we're in this, but we're in it now. Okay, so a typical man doesn't think that way. She made me, she, what's she? What is that? What made me rich? It's too weird. I can't comprehend it. I see it. I don't want to even look in that world. I know it's there. I know I signed on to it, but I don't even want to know about it. Please leave me alone with that. You know, that's a typical man. A typical woman is, I want to see more. And how can I get control of this man and make him do better? So I get more riches. And you know, what? That's sorority and fraternity in college. That's the vetting process and the initiation process into life in the world. Mm-hmm. No, let's not jeopardize that. Well, you have no choice. It's not you. It's God's going to put it down, man, because it's evil. It's evil. It's killing souls. It's taking God's children away. And he waits until it gets to be the same ratio as Sodom and Gomorrah. That is, how many people were in Sodom? 100,000? And how many lambs were there left? 20? Was it 50,000? Or did 25,000 live in Sodom? I mean, what was the number? Because once you derive the number, then you'll know the time when God will strike. And it looks to me like it's coming in cosmological terms, meaning earth changes, nuclear wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes. Oh, well, that sounds kind of similar to what's happening. Anyway, these merchants will stand afar off for the fear of her torment, and they'll be weeping and wailing. Oh, gosh, I had a good deal going. Why did you have to do that? And they say, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. That's all metaphorical. For the 1 hour, so great riches is come to nothing. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many trade by the sea stood afar off, bankrupt, by the way. And they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, oh my God, saying, alas, alas, the great city wherein we were made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. And they go on and on repeating this. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on this day. What? You mean God? How come when I go to a Bible study on this, we don't get to that point? We don't really own that. Let's understand it. Rejoice. Yay! It's all dead. What? You holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you. In other words, rejoice. All of you who've been persecuted for your faith in Jesus Christ, for your faith in God, for being marked into the Lamb's Book of Life, for being sealed by your free will, by accepting that you were chosen, and then you became the child of God. The reason God does all this is to avenge you for the pain and suffering that you've gone through, and the fact that, you know, so many of you were killed, and it was made to look like suicide. So many of you were, you never even got a chance to meet Jesus yet, and you were taken out because you had that, they knew you were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what I'm saying? Well, that might be from me being from a more wealthy background, but I mean, that's what happened to people. You know, they're a little bit more ruthless the further you go up in wealth. They have a lot less regard for human life. Rich people, you may have noted that. I don't know why that is. Not all of them. Well, the rich ones we see on TV, like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and, you know, and the Hiltons and the various people, they seem okay, I guess. They seem to care about people. But some of these people have great faith, too. And, it, you know, there's, you know, it's a mixed bag. It's not everybody, you know. It's not everyone is evil, but it's the system has to go. Even if there are good people in it, it's still going to go. And these people have pledged their whole fortunes to give to charity, like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, Baron Hilton, who's a multi-billionaire also. He's not too much in the press, but I mean, you know, Hilton Hotels and all that. Why do you suppose they're doing that rather than passing the wealth on? Why do you think they're giving it all to charity? Well, I know in the case of Hilton, he's a very devout Catholic. And as far as I know with Catholics, this book of Revelation is in their studies. And I think I don't think anyone reading this could really escape it. And if you had vast fortunes and you read this, I think you'd be humbled. You know, I think you'd be like, okay, it's God's money. You know, I might have made billions of dollars, but it's God's money. I have to return it to God. And what does God do? He wants you to take care of the poor, just on the surface. Take care of those that are hurting. Take care of those who are hurting because you might have hurt them, maybe indirectly, but by everything in the beast system hurts the innocent ones and spills innocent blood. I mean, it's just part of the just the unfortunate system upon the earth in which we live. And now, God hath avenged you on her, you holy apostles and prophets and heaven. In other words, all the people that were killed, you know, all the people that were persecuted, like Isaiah and, you know, Jeremiah and, you know, killing all these prophets. And then they enshrine them later, as Jesus said, when he confronted the hypocrites, the scribes and Pharisees. Remember that? Okay, so basically all of those the Lord was going to avenge. When he says the holy apostles and prophets, he's talking about the Old Testament people. He's also talking about the early church and the Christians, you know, like him being exiled and others killed. And he wasn't killed right away, but they all knew they were going to be killed. So the apostles, because relating to Jesus' disciples, and the prophets is relating to the old. So we have both the Old and New Testament represented here. The vengeance is on the whole thing. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. In other words, all the whole world will be thrown into violence, which, you know, and gee, do we have an echo of that today? Hello? With all the uprising, it's violence, right? You saw the 500,000 in like Trafalgar Square enough in London, you know, throwing bricks through windows and all that. What's it going to take to get that mob to go even more crazy and have guns? Right? And who's whipping it up? Obama and other people like that are behind the scenes whipping it up because they want to bring in this system. It's very clear. Very clear. When he says he prays to Diane Sawyer, I go, yeah, he prays probably all day long to his God, but not my God. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more. So entertainment business, you're gone. No craftsman whatsoever, nothing. This is also a repeat. So we're repeating, 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 repeating. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, in you. And the voice, so he's talking now to you, the world. You, the world, your candle goes out, okay? And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in you, the world. And for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, but by their sorceries were all nations deceived, i.e., most of the successful rich men of the earth belong to secret societies. What's the purpose of the secret society? Alchemy, sorcery, blah, 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 success, right? And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints. Whoops, you shouldn't have done that. Because that's then impugned onto the great men of the earth as having killed the prophets and the saints. It's the great men of the earth. The magnates have killed the prophets and the saints. Saints now is meaning everybody in Christ, everybody, past, present, and future, and all that were slain upon the earth. In other words, because this is a dangerous world. If you serve Jesus Christ, a lot of these people wind up dead. These people were slain upon the earth, prophets, saints. Well, that's not really happening. No, it is happening today. It happened throughout my life. Most of the people I know that got killed, and I escaped it narrowly, they were just what they didn't know Jesus. They didn't have, that wasn't it. They had been, but they were in the Lamb's Book of Life. They were children. Okay. They were coming. They were seen to be different in their societies, and they were offed. The people knew they were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So they got rid of them. So those deaths, this book is talking about those deaths just as much as, say, you know, Isaiah, just as much as, say, early Christians, just as much as Nero's victims, just as much. Because if you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you were written there before the foundation of the world. So the church makes a huge mistake when it bestows Christhood on you, being saved. That is a joke, because technically they're basing that on people coming to the altar and saying, I believe. And that's why the Luciferians took over the churches, because it was so easy to go and say, because they only look at the surface. So any idiot could say, I believe. So all the Luciferians went in there and said, I believe. And they became the pastors, prophets, apostles, and all that. They're imposters, but they took over all the churches. Because all you had to say was, I believe. You needed prophets and seers and visionaries to see into a person's soul, if the Lord allowed it, to see if they were actually written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Most of the people today that say they're Christians are not. But when God says written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he means people, Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists, rocket scientists, all walks of life, everywhere, all over the world, he has his own written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And many are kept hidden by not having any official religion. So Christian doesn't mean saved. The word Christian, call me a heretic. Let me say it again. The word Christian doesn't mean saved. Oh, I know there are pastors out there that would just love to put a bullet in my head. I mean, just shut me up. Just prevent me in some way from expanding for saying what I just said. That every pastor in every 501c3 is held accountable is not only not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but being the beast. There it is. There's no other way to look at it. Because the Babylonian church system is 501c3. And if you translate that number, if you want to be conspiratorial, it's 5 and 1 and C and 3, which spells out 666. Isn't that odd? I'm sure it was just a mistake. It must be just a coincidence. In other words, it has the mark of the beast. I heard there's a friend I have on Facebook. I don't know him very well. I just briefly made a comment that his father formed a breakaway church outside the 501c3. And the feds are all over him, you know, trying to shut him down and throw him in jail. Or they've thrown him in jail or whatever. I mean, just for doing that. So it's a harsh punishment. If you try to not be 501c3, they will come and break your door down and arrest the principals for operating illegally without the mark. But if you take the mark, 501c3, you're done. You're gone. 501c3 is like the mark of the beast. So even despite the best intentions of man, with all the charitableness and, you know, people trying to be honest and do the right thing, if it's under that system, it's all for naught. And that's what causes great sorrow. There's a lot of, quote, good people in it that are just trying to make it work and to minimize the evil. And they accept the good with the bad, the evil with the good. And they try to minimize the evil and maximize the good stuff so that people can, you know, live and prosper. And they're trying to be fair-minded. And why are they going to be punished? Why do they have to pay the price? And it's like, my answer to you is God's answer, what he says in his word, which is, God is no respecter of persons. It's not about you, friend. It's got nothing to do with you. It's about him. That's why you, if you're seen with them, you'll be shot down. The full wrath of God would pour down on you, and you may have not done anything wrong. He's no respecter of persons. If you don't accept his offer of amnesty in Jesus Christ the Lord, I mean, right now, you can still go to your job and you can still do your life. In fact, God placed you there so that you could help other people. You don't have to be so... There's one guy, I met a real estate agent here in New Mexico, and we started working on him, and he got so nervous. He didn't want us to ever come to another open house. He just was running away from us, you know. He goes, Christian, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. I would be out of business. I can't do it. And he was just like that. And you know, and so we, you know, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. In other words, the Holy Spirit had us withdraw, and we went away very calmly, as gentlemen and lady, and wishing him well, even though he was biting his fingernails and he was so nervous, he couldn't wait for us to get out of that house. Because it's his problem. He knows what's going on, and he's wrestling with it within his soul. So I have to assume that if he knows it, then you know it. And you're wrestling with it in your soul. And you know that everything that I've spoken here are the things that you've been... And now I made it a lot worse for you. And so I guess I'll have to lay low because, you know, this is the kind of thing that gets you in trouble. When you just spell out what the Bible says, boy, oh boy, that's the big offense. But have you ever wondered why it's still legal to have a Bible after it says such inflammatory things? Well, the devil knows the Bible better than anybody. His people who own the churches, you know, the Rick Warrens of the world, they know it better than anybody. You'd be better off in a cell with Charlie Manson than Rick Warren. I hate to put it that way. But, you know, no, I mean, both be bad. I'm just saying. It just turned out that way. You think Rick Warren would ever admit that he's part of the beast system? Not in a million years. He says he's saved and his friend Franklin Graham is saved and all these pro-Christians, all the pros are saved. You'll never get them to admit that they're not saved. Hey, happy April Fool's Day, folks. Wow. Friday. A great day to rejoice in the Lord. Well, anyway, so this is all heavy, but just remember these key points about Revelation, you know, 18, 19, 20, whatever. Just remember the key points of Revelation is, first of all, Revelation is a revelation. The apocalypse is a revelation. Okay? That's your first clue in understanding and comprehending the book of Revelation. It is a revelation. It is meant and intended for people to be revealed to of God's way, but it really is a revelation of the world that exists today, that is and is not and yet is. The two-tiered reality of this world is explained, and it's explained in great detail so that you don't marvel. Don't marvel, don't wonder at it. Because it's supernatural, paradoxical, and it drives a lot of people completely insane who try to figure it out. There is no figuring out. It is not on Google. It is not in history books. It's not in Bible studies on Revelation. It's nowhere, and yet it is somewhere. It is, and yet it is not. It is not, and yet it is. You're crazy, but yet, in the end, you're not. But we had to tell you were crazy. We had to make sure that you knew you were crazy so you would stop wondering at it, because we can't afford to have the thing blown. Because we, you know, and here's what they'll say in their secret society. Because we don't want God to see us. So Satan's arranged a veil so that it is and is not and yet is. And yet every single person that waxes rich upon the earth in the sense of is totally successful, you know, is, according to the book of Revelation, owes their success to the beast, which they are part of, and yet they are not part of, and yet they are. And this is the fulcrum and the crux and the axis of all the pain in the world today. 100% caused by the beast. No percent really caused by... And the victims, yeah, they go crazy. They get put in mental hospitals. They get put in jails. They get, you know, discredited. They get gang stalked. They get hurt. They get, you know, sabotaged. They get poisoned. They get... All those things happen. One very reasonable guy, Richard Wurmbrand, his wife, like I said, Sabina, she had to take the food everywhere they went because there was a real danger of poisoning because Richard Wurmbrand had a public stature. And you'll never see them who did it. They'll say, oh, they're paranoid. No one's trying to... No, because the people that would poison Richard Wurmbrand were and were not and yet were. In other words, they were just the normal people at the restaurant or the gathering. Why was there a threat of being poisoned? He was just preaching Jesus. That's allowed in America. There should be no problem with that. Religious tolerance exists in America. People are kind of good and bad. They're not certainly... You can't say that the whole world... I mean, you can't make this statement that, you know, that the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. And the merchandise of gold and all this stuff that the success of these people, of the merchants, you know, and that includes every corporation that makes something, all this, that the success of the rich men of the earth, they owe their success to her, the beast, that is and is not and yet is. If there's a lot of these people that are going to give all their money to charity, why are they getting blamed? Because God has no respecter of persons, and that system that you were a part of killed the prophets and the saints and the people of God, killed his children. So he's going to take vengeance on whoever is part of that. So my answer to you is don't be part of that. Repent and be washed in the blood of Jesus and you're no longer part of it. You're set free. You will not see anyone that's connected to it in any way, shape, or form. It will be as Sodom. Fire from the sky. Burned to the ground. Why is that? Because the system, not all the people that were part of it, but the system killed, the beast killed God's children and exists to this day to kill anything of God to bring in their Luciferian utopia. That is a world without people belonging to Jesus or written in the Lamb's Book of Life and all that. A world of those connected by the umbilical cord to Satan, to the beast, to the dragon, if you like. And that will be the utopia. A world without disconnected people. Anyone connected to this situation is already marked for death. And all those who are washed in the blood of Jesus, if they kill you, it doesn't really matter because you live. You live. You can just laugh at them. No matter, because everyone's going to die, right? You die in him. You die in the Lord Jesus Christ. You live. All those who are double-minded, you know, the pretend pastors and pretend flocks that go to these churches, you're seen. I mean, the game is over. You die and you die. Because you see, if you try to serve two masters, be kind of connected on the one hand and be in Jesus on the other, like the preachers on TV and stuff, what happens is this. God just sees you as, you know, the beast. He doesn't see you as the individual that you were meant to be. He sees you as the beast. It's no respecter of persons. So you get taken out. It's not anything personal. It's just, it's like black and white. If you're on this side, you're saved. And if you're on this side, you're taken out. I mean, the symbol should be obvious. For the Catholics, we have Satan's phallus, if you will, in St. Peter's Basilica, in St. Peter's Square there, just proudly, you know, proclaiming the pagan beast way. And what do the people of the beast do? They worship the sun. They worship the powers, God of forces. As it says in the book of Daniel, they worship the trees and the grass. They worship each other. And they, you know, unwittingly and by proxy, in most cases, kill the people of God. And the purpose of them, the reason that the dragon allows them to be, is for them to kill the people of God, because that's his whole plan, is a world without those people. Which would be impossible, and there's even a more sinister version of that, which goes something like this. If God's people were gone from the earth would be destroyed, and everyone that serves the beast would be destroyed too. Satan hates all humanity, and those who serve him, he wants to kill as soon as possible. Those who, see what I mean? He knows that when it falls below a certain level, and there, it's a mathematical equation. There's a certain level, when it falls below that number, the earth is destroyed, because there's no point in God's, for this earth to be here, God has to sustain it. No reason to sustain it when the numbers fall below a certain number. So they who are wise on the beast side know not to harm all God's children, but their master wants them all harmed, because he wants to bring about the destruction of all humankind, no matter what side you're on. And that's Satan's plan. And that's his game. So Sir Mick Jagger, in your Sympathy for the Devil song, you said, what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. No, it's not, sir, with all due respect. No, it's not. There is no mystery to your game, buddy. You want to destroy as many people as possible. And for that, they pay you hundreds of millions of dollars. And you have it all veiled, and you're just an artist and just doing your thing. And it's just a show. And no, it's not. You're an evangelist for death. We see very clearly what you're about. There is no mystery of your game. It's to kill and destroy all of humanity. Those who serve the beast and those who don't, both, everybody. And because you signed on with that, and you were effective, you were given millions of dollars in a stage and venue because you did a great job being a total punk. And if you say you don't know anything about this, you're a liar. But of course you're a liar, if you're even in that vessel. Is there really a Mick Jagger there? I don't think so. Are you the guy that started out as Mick? Me thinks Sir Mick and Mick are two different people. It's clear to me from your public appearances, you have absolutely no remorse. The world didn't punish you for threatening the world. Like, if you don't pay respect to the devil, you'll get body slammed. That's what you said. You preach violence, and no one batted an eye. Case proven, Your Honor. That there's nobody on this earth, not one human being, that could argue with this treatise today. Not one. Because it's clear on the face of it, and there is only one interpretation. There are plenty of people who would like to argue it, and like to discredit it, and like to say that doesn't exist. And then I would say, yes, it isn't. It's all wrong, and yet it isn't. It is, and first there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. What was Donovan, the singer in the late 60s, talking about when he said, first there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is? He was just talking about his penis when he had a morning wood, that was all. He had a mountain in his bed, and then there wasn't, and then there was again. And he's just making a stupid joke out of it. Oh, really? Isn't it interesting how the book of Revelation lines up with that? Maybe what he intended as a joke was really just manipulated to align with the book of Revelation. that it is and is not, and yet it is. First there is a mountain, then there is a mountain, then there is. Then there is. Well, lo and behold, no, there's nothing like that going on, son. Nothing at all. This, forget about it. Oh, yeah, but it is going on, son. Sorry. So they live in the satanic paradox. Leonard Cohen had a song. He said, everybody knows the ship is sinking. Everybody knows. You know that song? Famous Leonard Cohen song. Great poet. Great artist. I don't know where he's going to wind up, but I think he really understands the battle quite succinctly and is able to put it in very acutely accurate lyrics. So everyone knows the ship is sinking. Everyone knows the good guys have lost. Everyone knows, you know, the cavalry isn't coming. I'm embellishing now. The cavalry is not coming to the rescue. Everyone knows. Yeah, but nobody says, because it is and is not, and yet it is. So it's going on, everybody knows, but does not tell, because they want to have hope that somehow it's going to be all right. They don't want to ask God for help. They want to do it on their own. And everybody knows, and no one does anything about it, because they're hoping, you know, the next generation it gets straightened out, and the next generation it doesn't get straightened out, it gets worse. Actually, it looks to me like we're in the last generation, because people are starting to get the itchy trigger fingers on the nukes now, on the war thing, getting stoked up, and it's all your fault. You guys don't repent. If the missiles hit, could you please not say, I don't deserve this? Would you please just own it? Thank you. No, they won't own it, son. I know they won't. I know. To the last day, they'll be screaming, I am a queen and am no widow, and I shall see no sorrow. Even today, this is what they're doing. That verse applies to all of them. In other words, Mystery Babylon, the queen, the whore of Babylon, which is Mystery Babylon, which is the beast, which they marvel at, which contains all the nations of the earth who've drunk the wine of her fornication. It involves all the people make up her. And yet they don't, because they all deny it. So it's like, no, there is nothing like that going on. Yes, there is. Yes, it's there, evil in the world. No, it's not. But yeah, it sort of is. And if you want to get somewhere, sign on with us with evil. Then you can spend your life doing charity and make up for it. God just sees that as you're the beast. He doesn't see that as you're trying to do good. Your works are thrown out as dirty rags. Filthy rags is what the Lord calls them in his word. He's no respecter. You could be like the thief on the cross, selfish bastard who's never done anything for anybody else. Nothing for anybody else. You've done nothing for anybody else. And yet, he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior on the cross and went with the Lord. Shouldn't have God punished that person for all the bad stuff he had done in his life? No, because he's no respecter of persons. If he's in, he's in. If he's out, he's out. It's your choice. It doesn't matter. It's not a meritocracy. You can't merit favor with God. I don't care how many good things you do for other people, you can't merit favor with God. He's just no respecter of persons. You either are found with the Lord or you're found with the world, and there is no middle ground. So, look, I made a case to you all. Don't look at me. I'm not even here. This is not me. This is God's word to you and to me and to us all. And we all have a choice what to do. What to do about this dire prophecy, this revelation. What are you going to do about it? Doesn't matter how good you are. And I know a lot of you are really nice guys, and we've talked, and I like you plenty. But see, there's a legal problem. There's a contractual legal issue here. And so for some of you that are in business, you'll understand this part of the talk, right? This part of this talk, you understand. There's a contractual legal right to take you and throw you to the outer darkness. It doesn't matter if you've been like Mother Teresa every day of your life. There's a legal right, a legal contract. And you're in violation of the contract if you really meant to be with Jesus. Remember, the entire thing is against Jesus because, you know, the plan of Satan is to kill us all. His own too. In the end, there's no children of the devil. It's just human beings in a battle. It doesn't matter how virtuous you are. That might help you see the light and accept. There's a lot of virtuous people that seem virtuous on the outside, but they hate God. And it's just, there's nothing. He said, would God hurt these charity workers? These relief workers in Africa trying to bring some food and water? It's like, well, if you're on the beast side, yeah, you're gone. Bye. The thief on the cross should have proved it to everybody. Selfish bastard. Criminal. Done a lot of harm to other people. Forgiven. I know that pisses people off. I know that upsets people. So God couldn't be like that. The things of God people don't understand. You know, a lot of people think I'm going to work real hard for God. And they miss the mark. And they wonder, how can I miss the mark? I put my whole heart and soul into it. Because it became about you, not him. It's just, he's no respecter of persons. And he doesn't care about... You know, he cares about the works you do when it's like he's guiding you when you're doing works. And yeah, and those works will be judged in the end. As Jesus says in the book of Revelation at the Alpha and Omega speech, he ends up saying it. But to he who overcomes will be acquitted. You know, it's a contract. He who overcomes, but because they hated me, they will hate you, Jesus said. Even if you are a true saint and a lovely human being. However, that being said, the people that hate you themselves are hated by the thing they serve, and they're going to kill each other in the end and have nothing. So what would you rather be? Persecution comes to the people of the Lord. But why are people persecuted when they are Hindus? All people... You know, yeah, we've talked about reality. I don't want to wreck this talk now by going into talks I've already done with you. In other words, we've already talked about the two-tiered reality. We've also talked about the video game aspect of this. So you can't look at it like a collective of humanity because there is no collective. That's one of the mysteries of God. That's just... You know, I wish I could explain all this to you so you'd understand. That being said, there's an awful lot of deathbed confessions, which do get people, despite the fact that they lived abominably, that do get people legally right with the Lord. It's a legal contract. Otherwise, see, he has to punish. He must avenge by destroying the system, all those which is responsible for the death of his children. What father wouldn't do that? I mean, that is just a kind of a normal thing. If you killed my kid, do I care? Would I just eat it and be a wimp? I don't know. I mean, I don't want to speculate, but I'm just saying. He's going to avenge his own. Okay? You can either be there when he does or not be there when he does. Look, one of the most beloved of God was Stephen the martyr. Beloved of God. And a beautiful soul, beautiful saint, beautiful everything. And they decided to stone him to death for blasphemy. And there was no... And they had people trumping up charges against him that weren't true. And the whole bit. Before that first stone hit, he was gone. He was with the Lord. He was smiling. He was happy. He was there. Didn't even feel the stone when it hit. You know, but they do that. I mean, but see, here's the thing. Though Stephen was happy and elated and gone, he was like, he had a presence that people couldn't even explain. He'd scared them to death, those who threw the stones. But God is going to avenge Stephen. You see? That blood is not going to go as innocent blood. All that blood's going to be spoken for. He has to do it. It's a matter of when. On that day, you don't want to be contractually on the wrong situation. You don't want to be legally on the side that is to be stomped out. You don't want to be there anyway, even if there wasn't a legal binding thing. It's got nothing to do with you. God's going to do what God does because of his good pleasure to do it. And he's going to do his own thing. It's about him, not you. He made you to live through you. If you can block it through your free will. But if you do that, then obviously you're going to be in real trouble because there isn't anything going on here on earth except the fact that you're going to die. You can get all the brass rings and all the trophies and all the stuff and all the cars and boats and houses and whatnot. Get them all. But you're still going to die. You're still going to face this legal binding situation. You see, it's not really about your cars and your trucks and your houses and your condos and your mistresses and all the stuff that you own or control. It's about one thing. What God is doing. It's not about you, what you've done and what you've merited and, you know, your foundation with your name on it and all that stuff and how that people will remember you as such a charitable guy. That's nothing. That's meaningless. The only name to be glorified is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord. And, you know, that God is glorified. So that you will accept his son as your provision for escaping this horrible thing. And you say, oh, well, it hasn't come yet. It comes with every life. Every soul that is perishing faces the book of Revelation. Because you're only going to die once, right? You're only going to die once anyway. So whether you die in a great fiery wrath of the, quote, official book of Revelation that starts on May 21st, blah, 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 and ends on this such and such, it doesn't matter. Every life has a time clock. Every life faces this same issue. Are you going to be found on that day of death, however you die, in the Lord or in this beast system, which is also called the world? Which one are you going to be in? It's your choice. There's a legal contract. If you're, like I said, you could be the most charitable person on earth and have done the most for tons of people. But it's your position of your soul and your allegiance. And the only way you can change your, you know, allegiance and your position is you can't do it, but he can. He, through his son, meaning he, does it. And makes you basically, I am. You know, you live for him, he lives through you. That's the way it works. And to the extent that we're not able, that we block that, like I block it all the time. He lets bad things happen to you, so you get the message to let him live, and it's all about him and not you. So I have to be reminded of this all the time. A lot of days I spent in sorrow and pain and hurt over the years, which were because, you know, I gave the world too much credence, because I cared about what they thought and what they said, and because I felt guilty for not being with them, not doing better on their side. But, I realized after a while, the Lord beat that out of me completely, you know, to the point now where it's like, if somebody makes a move, I start... It's like, praise God that I did something right. You know, I feel like, hey, rejoice. I'm almost getting, not quite there yet, but I'm almost getting there. I'm just about there. And how did I get there? Well, it took a lifetime of pain and suffering, you know, probably needlessly. You know, I mean, you know, me being just too sensitive a person. And so even though I had plenty growing up and had no wants or anything, it just, there was this pain. It wrecked it all. There's nothing, there was no joy. Now I realize that was the greatest blessing that could have happened. But I'm still, you know, me personally, I'm still, still have more to get beaten out, I guess. Yeah, I'm trying to be, I prayed for wisdom so that I would be, you know, a little quicker on the, you know, getting out of there. A little quicker moving on. You know, children have no problem, you know, when they accept the Lord. But us older people, we seem to keep falling, you know, that's weird. It's a really tough battle, you know, at times. So I have compassion for all of you going through it. This message today seems to be aimed at you men, really, who seem to be quite dense. You just don't get it, do you? But when I talk about a legal contract, now suddenly you start understanding. Those of you who actually lasted to the end of this talk. I'll be hearing from you. You'll be writing me. You can write me at 5 Bisbee Court, 109 Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. That's 5 Bisbee, B-I-S-B-E-E, Court, Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. And I expect to hear from you, but don't write me with questions. Just tell me that you accepted the Lord or you had a profound experience. Those of you blocking it, you're allowed to block it. The Lord has come close to you today. Look, Jesus told us to say this to you yesterday. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning in all of our lives, the kingdom of God is at hand, which is the kingdom of heaven, which is as much within us as up there somewhere or outside somewhere, as much within us. The entry, it's all within your grasp, all within your power to choose the Lord, and then he will do it. As Mahalia Jackson said in one of her songs, you know, don't worry, I'll explain it to you. Okay, well, I've tried to explain it. I tried to explain the situation that you're in. I did prove it in the court of the Lord, in the court of, which is a higher standard than the court of law. But that may not have convinced you. So now there'll be supernatural manifestations and signs in your life that will scare you, so you will be convinced. Well, then the Lord must love you very much. Please don't count those as curses. When supernatural manifestations happen in your life, which they often do around this ministry anyway, please don't marvel at them. Just go, okay, Lord, I'm yours. Look, let me bestow some wisdom on you. When that happens, just realize the jig is up and just say, yes, Lord, I'm yours. I'm going to live for you from now on. You died for my sins, rose again. I want eternity. I want to overcome this world. I want to be, you know, because the one I'm seeing right here, you've been all through church and seminary and Bible school and everything else. So you know you claim to know the whole Bible, right? Well, then you should have no problem understanding. You may even be a pastor in a church who hasn't tasted salvation yet. Oh, don't laugh. That's one of the saddest things going, is that pastor thing. Oh, man. Somebody, I know my buddy John Norton, who you hear on I have to call him. You know, I haven't heard from him in a while. I have to get that going again. But, I mean, one time he tried to have a ministry of evangelizing. That's not funny. It's not funny at all. But none of this. It's so heavy that we have to laugh. He had a ministry of evangelizing pastors. He wanted to bring pastors to Jesus. He thought, you know, since pastors are the most fallen, maybe they would be attentive to him, you know, wanting them to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And, you know, and he had no takers because they didn't want to lose their positions as pastors. I know that is just, how does that sound? I want to stay a pastor, so I don't want to accept Jesus. How's that sound to you? Don't laugh. That's the situation we find ourselves in today, folks. Oh, I know a pastor. He's very holy. He puts on a good show. I know. They all do. They're chosen for their skills on stage. Don't you know that? Those are honed. Those are skills. Yes. A lot of people with great gifts. We all have gifts. We all have powers. The Lord was good to distribute the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Gifts are given to the just and the unjust alike. That does not surprise me. But don't fall for someone who's a good entertainer, you know, and saying, well, he's okay, so I'm okay. I had one pastor tell me, and then I have to go. Why I would speak for 2 hours and 19 minutes. It's, I'm now besting my best. Now I'm going beyond. I had other things to do today. You know, I'm going to have to be exhausted for a little bit, and I'll recover. But Spemount, pastors, this one guy, when they were pressuring me to join their B system, and he told me that all the churches in Los Angeles, every one of them, you know, initiates its members or will not tolerate those not conformed to the B system. He told me that just straight faced. And then he got possessed and mind controlled, and then he became like a robot. His personality was gone. And he said, you know, then he suggested that, well, then he threatened me by saying, look, you better stay with the group or you're going to get, I quote, picked off, end quote. So is that the love that the pastor is supposed to show for the flock? What was I doing? Did I confront them? No, I was there taking Bible study, worshiping the Lord. You know, I volunteered to be a janitor, so I cleaned up their shit and their trash and all that. But there was another problem. In other words, everyone had to be on the same page with Satan in order to then pretend to be a Christian. So then the next plot was they tried to get me into a car to go to some prayer meeting, which they wouldn't say where it was. My friend said, it would be wise for you to avoid that. So eventually, you know, we got kicked out. What do? We participated in Bible study. We took classes. We prayed with them. We listened to the sermons. We cleaned up their church. That was our crime. I kid you not. I mean, we made sure that we behaved. You know, that I did prophesy over a few of them, and that's what started. Like, one guy, the Lord told me, this is an FBI agent posing as a leader, and so I confronted him that he's an FBI agent. The next day he was shipped out, boom, gone to another church, and they all jumped on me, so that could have been part of it. But that should have proven to them that I had revelation, right? That was like a true word, prophetic word. But instead of scaring them into repentance, they attacked the messenger. So it's like, okay, so we leave. Yeah. The guy has a blog now. And it just seems like a dead person writing. It doesn't seem like there's any life to it at all. No pictures, no nothing, no personal details. He's a surfer. That's about it. Dry, dead bones. You know, and I asked Trish, I said, why did we even go to this place? Knowing that, you know, I mean, do we have to? Because the Lord wanted to show us the church system. So we went to several of them. They're all the same. And they're all the same nationwide and worldwide. They're a church to house Satanists to allay the guilt of the Satanists. So they're programmed so that they go back to work and have their parties and don't think about the thing that's bugging them. So that's what they're there for, to keep the programming going. Now, so anyway, so my friend knows all this, right? Because we have long talks on the phone, and it's great talking with brethren who, you know, who know everything. You know, we don't know everything, but we know all this. So I'm talking to him on the, Leonard Cohen knows it too. Be great to talk to him on the phone. I have hope for him. I really do. I can't explain why. Even Bob Dylan, I still think there's hope there too. That's what I think. It's not anything from on high, okay? So don't take that to the bank. But so we talk about this with my friend John, and he tells me he's going to have a program to evangelize pastors in the Southern California area. And then he confirmed, he said, well, the experience you had trying, because we went to the churches as a mission. Now remember, this was not long after God drove the motorcycle when I had no skill to even be on it for 2 seconds. He drove it on the freeway. So God was like, took me to these churches. I mean, this is really what, and he's looking out of my eyes. He's talking to me. He's saying, okay, this church, 87% are, you know, on the other side. 87%, including the entire choir, the pastor, the elders, the deacons, everybody. And he said, see these people in the wheelchairs? And see the, you know, I say retarded, but, you know, challenged, you know what I mean. Like Down syndrome kind of folks and stuff, you know. I hate to say retarded to anything because that's a negative word. But anyway, he said, they're with me. They're mine. But the rest of them, I'm like, wow, that's an awful lot of people. He said, no, this church is exceptional. 87%, you know, in other words, 13% being his was a huge high number. He was saying, this is one of the better churches because 13% are mine. And the rest, 87%, are not. Now, that was a direct word from the Lord. Who's going to? No, we can't prove it. You just have to take my word that that happened. Trish was a witness, but she's my wife, so you can just discount that if you like. But that's a much better percentage because mostly it's around 5%, and those 5% leave, come and go through attrition. In other words, they join for a while, and then they leave. They come, they go. It is the philosophy of the church to go after the youth through youth group because the adults are very hard to get onto the beast side if they're not there already. They're just losers coming in looking for some help or lambs to the slaughter, whatever you like. And the church doesn't really want them. But if that 5% wasn't there, the church wouldn't exist. And that's what these idiot pastors don't realize. You're playing with God, buddy. It's not Zeph, not John, not our friends. You know who you don't. You I understand you don't want us around. You don't want us evangelizing. I tried to evangelize this guy from Calvary Chapel once. Oh my God, what a twisted guy he was. He said, I'm afraid to pray with you, Zeph, because they hear all my thoughts. I'm like, whoa, you got it bad, dude. This is a guy in his 20s. Yeah, right about when I was getting online, I wanted to pray with him. I wanted to pray for his deliverance. I wanted to pray for his getting free of the Calvary Chapel program. I said, who exactly is, and it's the women at the church. Yeah, they hear every, like if I tried to pray, they'd find out and I get in trouble. I can't do that. So they could really watch him in the spirit. They're really powerful as witches. And they run that whole place. And he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't, if I had been another member and we were praying for prosperity or for healing or for, you know, his mother-in-law in the hospital or the, you know, or his wife and his baby to be saved because they're not believers in Jesus yet, you know, that kind of stuff. He would pray, but I wanted to pray with him that he would be free, that Jesus would set him free, that Jesus would set him free of that bondage, of that occultic bondage, of that mind control bondage about those, you know, about, I wanted to cast the demon out of him because that's how they can listen. He had to have a spirit in them who was broadcasting right out to the others. So I want to cast that out and set him free. No, I don't want that. I don't want to get in trouble. They'll get me. I can't do that. So just leave me alone. Let's just not talk anymore. Okay, buddy. I don't want to see you so fearful, but is that what a saint in Jesus looks like? Fearful and hiding under the desk? At the sign of, you know, never saying anything about the Lord to anybody, just keeping it all quiet until you get into the church on a Sunday or a Wednesday night? And then the rest of the time, you're just a slave having to do what you're told or else, you know, you might get in trouble. Is that the way that you're, then what's the point of like going to a job or having a family and a baby? And what's the point what's the point of living in the United States of America? If you're just a slave, this is supposed to be land of the free and home of the brave. How come you're not living the life and doing what you want and using your skills and having your life? And they won't let you. No, you can't do it that way. I see. You think if you work your way up and pay your dues and to them, your taxes to them, and your obedience to them, and your provision comes from them, and your livelihood comes from them, and your meat comes from them, and it all comes from them, you think that one day you'll be free to worship Jesus? No, I already worship Jesus. No, that would mean you're double-minded. You think you got Jesus, but they own you. See, Jesus sets people free. That's the point. And, you know, then he says, well, I'm the same as everybody else in church. Right, so church is just really a prison. But if you join it, you can get your, you know, you can have security there, but you exchange, you know, spiritual slavery, but then it becomes behavioral slavery because you have to do what you're told. Like, they tell you, go do this job, go apply over there, go do this. Everything they say you have to do, or you're somehow demonically possessed and they need to then work on you and pray over you and cast out that demon so that you get back on the page. And that's what's happened. And that's why, I guess, America's gone down, because that's what's really happened in this case. So we made the case. The book of Revelation makes it very clear for each soul, the legal definition of life, death, salvation, punishment, and the legal ramifications and the legal framework by which it is accomplished and for what reason. It also confirms the two-tiered reality that is and is not and yet is, which is the real reality, and the surface is, you know, Leave It to Beaver. And it confirms that Leonard Cohen song, The Ship is Sinking, everyone knows that. So there, and it confirms Paul's word in the first letter to the Romans. It confirms Paul's word that they are without excuse because the creation of God is sufficient to show them, yet they worship the created rather than the creator. Because really what this kid in this church was subject to is he was tied into a man-worshipping scheme where they all worship each other and they worship the pastor and they do what they're told. You know, they study Rick Warren's book and they are good little soldiers for God. But he knows. He's probably by now. Hopefully he's gotten the message that, you know, God loves him and has open arms waiting for him to just say the word. And you know, it's not like you got a call like you're in the military and you're down behind enemy lines and, you know, you call in for an evac. You need an evac right now. The enemy's going to just, you know, strafe you and cut you to ribbons. So you call in for that evac and you're waiting. There's no waiting with God. The evac is right here, right now. Just say the word and you're gone, baby. You're out of here. That's it. It's over. You're free. Live your life. That's all I can say right now. Zeph Daniel, yeah. If you want to write to me, it's 5 Bisbee Court, 109, Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. And let me just say I pray in Jesus' name for one and all, for all those who are on the fence, which is who they are. They're on the fence. They know what I'm saying is right, Lord, but they've had a problem. Lord, just push them off the fence over to your side so that, you know, my heart, Lord, I don't want anyone to be lost. Lord, I ask you to please reveal to them who are obstinate the truth of the contract and the legal contract, the no respecting of persons and the black and white nature of this reality and what it's all about. Lord, please reveal to them that there is nothing hidden, that nobody is hidden, that everything is on a record. So whatever you do, whatever you say, it comes back on you. Lord, please reveal to them that they have no other choice but to choose you, Jesus Christ. The sooner they're on their face in repentance and confessing their sins and accepting you, that you are the risen Savior, that you died on the cross, and that the punishment on you set the whole world free. No exceptions. The whole world free, that they accept this offer of freedom and that they escape the wrath to come because they are your children, proving that they have already been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. They were just slow, Lord. They were just programmed, Lord. It took a little time for them to get out of it, Lord. Please save them, Lord. In Jesus' name, please accept it. I pray that you soften their hearts right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, soften their hearts right now so they accept you as the one holy God who's made provision for their lives to live in eternity with you versus destruction. Lord, please, in Jesus' name, as many souls as can possibly hear that I have proved it, I thought, or you proved it, or you helped me to prove beyond all shadow of doubt, or you proved it and I sat here and watched, whatever it is, Lord, that it was proven beyond all doubt today, the legal framework, the legal ramifications, the black and white nature of your reality, Lord, and why they must, all you souls out there, must choose Jesus now, because there really isn't time and because it's a legal contract. It's a binding contract, Lord. It's not that you don't like them. It's that you are no respecter of persons. If they're found with you, great. If they're not, your wrath. Lord, please show them that it's not about me. I extricate myself from the situation, that it's just the word that's settled with them now. Not my voice, not anything about me, not anything about anyone I know, not anything. It just has to do with them. Somehow you related and revealed yourself to them, Lord. I pray for their lives, Lord. For their healing, God. Lord, I pray that they awaken, that you remove the scales from their eyes, that they suddenly see very clearly the one choice available to all humans, that you are waiting with open arms, Lord, in love, that you are love, and the illusion that you're an angry, unloving God is all, it's just based on the perception of this world, a fallen world, Lord. This is part of the test, Lord. We know that, but they don't know that. Soften their hearts, Lord. Show them that you are, beyond all doubt, the Savior, the one who loves them. The world does not love them, Lord, but you love them. Lord, reveal that love to them by providing the way of escape, that they can right now accept you, Jesus. Though their lives may not change in terms of their workplaces and where they go, Lord, that they have changed inside because you now live within them, Lord. You live within them and guide them, and their lives are full now, Lord. And they can sleep at night now, Lord. And they are free from whatever. You need to forget them. Cause them who have accepted you, Lord, to forget that you have forgotten their sins, and so have they. They have been set free because Jesus paid for it. They are washed in your blood, Jesus Christ. Accept with me right now, people. I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ right now, and I am set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has baptized me by fire and now lives in me. Lord, you are my heart now, and you guide me, Lord, not me and my feeble ideas, Lord. You have saved me and set me free, and I want to be a light unto you, unto the whole world, that you are the way of escape before this horrible judgment comes, Lord, that comes to us all in death, that you set me free because you love me. You love me despite my stupid vanity and my narcissism and my perception of blessings by calling them curses. And Lord, that you put up with all that, but you give me a new heart. You give me a new mind. You renew my mind as Christ. My mind is no longer my own, but my mind is now conformed to Christ. Lord, you've done all that for them. Please do that for them. Show them that before the foundation of the world, they were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They belong to you, God, and not to the devil. They belong to you and not to the world. They belong to you and not to the beast system. They belong to you and not to the church system. They belong to you and not to any kind of religious system. They belong to you because you're Papa and you guide us into all good things, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name, gives us wisdom and illuminates us and lights us up from within and teaches all the things of Jesus and is the Word of God, Lord. If you are Father and the Holy Spirit is Mother, Jesus is Friend, if that's the way they need to look at it, if there are Catholics listening, by all means. Worship Jesus, not Mary. By all means, Lord, reveal this to them in Jesus' name. Venerate Mary if you must, but worship the Lord. Respect Mary if you must, but worship the Lord. Do not go begging dead people for favors. The Lord is right here waiting to give you everything you need. Father, Yahweh, Yeshua, Holy Spirit, one, Son, Father, one. If your mother and father is forsaking you, if the world is forsaking you, I, God, will never forsake you. Come to me, and I will be your God. You'll be my people, and the light that lights you up is me. You no longer need light from the world because you are the light. Walk as children of light, because sometimes you were darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light. The old man is dead. The old way is dead. The old sins are forgotten about. Forget about them. Wash them clean. They never happened. Walk with a new raiment, with new garment, in the light of the Lord. Lord, let them be free. Lord, remove those chains of bondage. Remove the chains which are called mind control. Remove the chains which are negative evil spirits. Remove the chains. Cast out all demons from all people now, instantaneously. No, it doesn't take 3 hours. It takes 5 seconds. They are cast out in Jesus' name. Now you have some running room. Now accept the Lord while you have a chance. Find the Lord while he can be found. He's right before you. Accept the Lord now while he can be found, and he is found right now. with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, one and all. Thank you, God above all things. Thank you, God that contains all things within it as one, that you are his child as one, in him as one, and he in you as one. The Lord is not out there somewhere. The Father, the maker of all things, lives within you. By your accepting Jesus Christ, he lives in you as one. You live in him as one. And we are his one. And all is bliss because all is one. Thank you in Jesus' name. The alternative, Lord, has been proven to be darkness, has proven to be inconclusive, has proven to be a fallacy, has proven to be incompetent, has proven to be violent, has proven to be a world of strife and harm to children and harm to innocents, of which rich people cannot boast, because how can one boast having riches when they're starving in the world, and do that with a clean conscience, Lord? Set the rich free. Those rich people that can hear, Lord, let them hear this message, Lord, and come to you and be set free of all their guilt and anguish, that their things will no longer control them, Lord, that they are set free to love and be loved and give good direction and good wisdom to their children, so that their children would be saved and so that a new life would begin. Lord, in Jesus' name, let it be so. Amen and amen. World without end. Amen. And with that, I bid you shalom, and I will see you next time. 2 hours, 40 minutes, 58 seconds. Next time.